Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm so excited about this episode. I'm so sorry it's taken me a while to upload it, but I promise you it is worth the wait. This episode is for the beauty junkies. Sarad is a beauty editor at Essence Magazine. She has so much knowledge to share, and this is actually one of the few interviews that actually changed the way that I think about beauty. So since our conversation, I've colored my hair, I've gotten highlights, I went to Diva Curl, I had an amazing experience. I went to the Diva Curl shop down in Soho. If you go on Diva Curl's website, D-E-V-A-C-U-R-L, Diva Curl, you can also put in your zip code and they'll tell you where there are Diva Curl stylists by you. They do a method for highlights that's called the Pintura method, where they kind of like paint on the highlights and you can kind of decide where they want to go. And it's actually designed to highlight the natural curl pattern that you have. So they're very kind of strategically placed highlights. I'm very happy with my decision. I used to be so afraid to color my hair, and now I see that it's absolutely fine. I have to use different products now. Like, I got a special shampoo and conditioner for color treated hair so that my highlights don't get brassy. I'm still not 100% sure what brassy means, but I know that it is to be avoided if you have highlights and you are in the sun a lot. And then we also talked about having more fun with makeup and really seeing makeup as self-expression. And so I just went to the BET Awards and I did like a white winged eyeliner, which was very different for me. So I love talking to people that remind me that beauty is meant to be fun and it's meant to be a tool of self-expression. And Sarad, I thank you for that big reminder. So Sarad reached out to me for a New Year's resolution, beauty New Year's resolution story she was writing for Essence. And I'm very proud to say that I've kept to my resolution to make more of my skincare at home. So I've posted some videos on the Instagram for this podcast, Naked Beauty Planet. Thank you all for everyone who's joined. But I posted my oil cleansing method with pumpkin seed oil, as well as my nighttime serum, which has sea buckthorn oil, and it's so effective. I highly encourage you guys to check out those video tutorials. And yeah, just try making more of your stuff at home. If you want to start slow, start by making your own body oil. Like, you can get almond oil and coconut oil, and then just add in your favorite scent. If you love lavender, add lavender. If you love rose, add rose. Start with baby steps, and then slowly but surely you'll begin to realize, wow, this is so much more effective than anything I could buy at a store. Also, I'm still using my Curology skincare. I've been using it now for a while, and I haven't had a breakout in almost a month, and I've been traveling and I've had my period and a lot's been going on, but I've had no breakouts. I highly recommend Curology. It's totally customized to you and your specific skincare needs. I have a link in my show notes for all of the Naked Beauty listeners. With that link, you get your first month of Curology free. It's only $4.95 for shipping that you have to cover. And then after that, I want to say it's just around $20 each month. I think it is totally worth the money. I've been really happy with my experience so far. So check it out if you're interested in some customized skincare solutions. And yeah, let's just get into the episode. There's so much. The show notes also are extremely thorough. So like, listen, get your life from the show notes. Also, thank you so much to everyone who has subscribed to the show, who has rated the show and left a review. Apple does not make it easy to leave reviews. I don't know why it's so complicated. If you find the time to leave a review, I'd be so grateful. I always appreciate all of the love that you guys show me, so thank you so much for that. All right, let's get into the episode. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah, no, I'm like really excited because I feel like beauty editor is like the fantasy job in my head.
Yeah.
And you are like living that life. So I'm very excited to like kind of hear your perspective.
Ooh.
And how you got into it.
Yeah, I'm excited to share. I feel like I have a very unconventional story. So
okay.
Excited to share too.
You're from Boston, so you're an East Coast girl.
I am.
And you stayed on the East Coast for college.
Correct. I went to Hamilton College in upstate New York. So people are like, oh, you went to school in the city? I'm like, no, it's like 5 hours from New York City, literally in the middle of nowhere with like cows. And my school was 1,800 people. So
wow.
The same is actually smaller than my high school. So it was an interesting experience going from the inner city to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And I don't imagine it was very diverse. Maybe that's just a stereotype in my head, but I'm just imagining like...
No, there was maybe like 30 of us in my graduating class.
Yeah.
So again, my school, my high school was, I went to Boston Latin Academy, so it was huge, diverse. There were, you know, Black students, white students, Asian students, you know, Latinx students. So it was really diverse. And then to go to Hamilton, which wasn't, it was, you know, pretty shocked.
Did you know that you wanted to be like in beauty or like be an editor? Like, was that something that you were working towards?
No, 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 not at all. I mean, I graduated with a communications and psychology degree. I actually thought me and my sister, my younger sister, we were going to own our own PR firm, which is like
cute.
Kind of interesting to think about now, but no. So I graduated and I actually worked in finance for a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. That's so different.
Yeah. So I worked for S&P on one of their products for a little bit and then knew I wanted to go into marketing. I guess the PR dream I had in college, I went to work for an agency. And then after that, I worked for a few brands. And then most recently, I worked for another brand. So I worked on the marketing side at Clinique.
Nice.
And then, yeah, so I had no idea that I wanted to get into like a beauty editor. I always knew I had like a, you know, love for beauty, was always obsessed with skincare products and beauty products.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, or maybe 2 years ago now, started freelance beauty writing.
Okay.
Just kind of randomly, I had this idea like, oh, I don't see any articles about, at the time I was really obsessed with Korean skincare.
Oh, let's, because you know, I just got back from Seoul and like,
oh my God, wait, what?
I just went to Seoul and I only had a day there and I just stocked up on apps. Like I was a psychopath. Like I was like, because we only had a day. So we were like, my husband was like, should we go visit temples? And I was like, stop. Like I may not even have to stop for lunch because I just wanted to go to like all of the like meccas of K-beauty.
Myeongdong, I think is the like.
Yes. There's Hanamdong is like another like very cool area. Yeah. And then Myeongdong. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't either. Sorry, but.
Oh, they have like six level. It's like being in the future. Like they are so ahead of the curve with beauty, and all of the girls just have amazing skin and great makeup looks. I was just like in heaven. I want to move there.
Yeah, I went there. So I went there like 2 years ago. I actually got LASIK eye surgery when I went there.
Oh my God, that's like, I would be so scared to get something that intense like in another country.
Yeah, but they're like so futuristic and so ahead of the curve,
right?
And like, I was doing some research and it's a lot cheaper there and the downtime is literally like 24 hours and then the next day I could see. So,
oh my God.
So yeah, so I was there for 2 weeks and
like, did you get sent there by a brand?
No, this is like before I was an editor. So yeah. I was just like going, I ended up going with a friend. Originally I was going to go by myself, but I ended up going with a friend and it was like the best time.
It's so good.
So, just shopped and ate so much good Korean food and ended up like going to museum. It was a great time.
I know. And like, I'm so surprised at the level of swagger that like even the guys like,
oh my God,
walk into a shop. Like I walked into the shop. First of all, they were like playing Odd Future. And I was like, what? Like, how do you guys have this like hip hop music here? The guys are wearing like cool, like baggy, but not too baggy, like really cool, like almost retro outfits. Mm-hmm. They have like great haircuts, like maybe like a one earring hoop situation. I'm just like, you guys are so swaggy.
They're so cool. I actually just went to Japan a few weeks ago and I feel like they are like also on another level when it comes to like style.
I know.
Beauty too. I feel like I was less, or maybe I'm just like in a very different place, but I was like less obsessed with the beauty when I went to Japan as I was when I went to Korea. Yeah. I feel like Korea was like mind blowing, but but both have like incredible style, and I also want to move to Japan now.
Yes.
Oddly,
I feel like I want to be a teenager in Japan. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I don't want to be like an adult. Like, no. I just want to be like a truly young person to like tap into the youth culture there.
It was so awesome, yeah. And again, amazing food.
Yes,
and it was just,
and they love Black culture weirdly.
They do, especially like going.
Well, not weirdly,
to,
like obviously.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say weird, like, obviously. Everyone loves Black culture, but
they do, and like they're so like in tune. And like, no, I went to like sneaker stores and like vintage stores and saw like throwback Summer Jam T-shirts.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, how did you guys get this?
I saw someone in a FUBU shirt in Seoul, and I was like, what? Like,
where did you get this?
Summer
how
Jam.
Do you know?
That's funny.
Yeah, it was like Summer Jam, like 02, like 50 Cent. I was like, this is insane. But yeah, so.
You should have gotten that. That's a good T-shirt.
I know.
Was it expensive?
Was it? I don't even remember. I feel like I went to, when I first went to Harajuku, like the first day, I was just so overstimulated
that
I was like, I walked into a store and I was like, I can't buy anything.
Yeah,
I just like need to, I need to like get my bearings and then come back. And of course I never made it back.
Of course.
Which is why you need to buy things when you see them.
I know. Literally.
I know.
It's a little painful for me to talk about this because I saw the coolest Adidas sneakers I've ever seen in my life at this shop in Seoul. They fit me perfectly. Ooh. And I was like, oh, like I was like, it's Adidas though. I don't need to.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around Boston yesterday, your hometown, on Newbury Street. There are like three sneaker stores. Like there's one like cool, I don't know, they curate different shoes. And then further down, there's like a cool Adidas concept store. So the first one, they were like, I've never even seen these. These look like Margiela shoes. And I was like, these are Adidas. And they were like, I haven't seen these. Then I go to the Adidas concept store and they were like, these have been sold out for weeks. Damn. They were like, where did you find these? People are still selling these somewhere? Like, they've restocked. Like, you can't find these anywhere. I was like, I was in Korea. And they were like, you should have gotten them.
Dang, man. That's painful.
But that's like a true, like, gem of a lesson. Like, if you see something you love, just get it then.
Yeah, you have to. And when it comes to anything, because I feel like you just never know.
You never know. You never know. So at what age did you transition? Because I think a lot of people feel like, I'm 26 already. It's too late. Like, I'm set in my career path. Like, I can't just re-pivot. Like, you were doing finance and then marketing. So when did you, like, get into beauty writing?
It wasn't until, like, 28. So it was, like, my Saturn return, which I'm into astrology. I don't know.
Ooh, what's your sign?
I'm a Scorpio. Ooh, Scorpio, intense. Sun, Moon, Virgo.
Okay.
So basically Beyonce, but...
Right?
That's amazing. It was like around 28 that I started to transition to a new career. So I tell people, you're never too old. And I feel like I still have so many things that I want to do. And like, I learn new things every year. I'm like, oh, now I want to be like a director, or like, I want to do something new. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, so it wasn't until 28 and I'm 30 now. So I've been doing it.
I thought you were 25. You know what I think it is? I think you dress like really cool. Like,
oh,
you really embody like the cool street stuff. Like, I feel like I know my lane. Like, I'll like see like a cool like jersey and like slashed like baggy pants. And I'm like, for someone else, I'm too old.
No, you definitely can. No, I also feel like it's just like,
having fun, yeah.
Exactly. It's having fun. Someone at work called me, like, very quirky. So I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, I'm going to take that as a compliment. Maybe it's youthful.
Yeah, and you have great skin.
Oh, thank you.
You have, like, a little angelic, like, baby face. Is it genetic? Like, does your mom have perfect skin?
She has good skin. I do think, okay, this is, like, beauty editors aren't supposed to say this. I feel like you're supposed to say it's like tons of products, but I do think a good portion of it, I know a good portion of it is like genetics.
Of course.
But I do think I've been taking care of my skin for a really long time. Like I said, from a young age, I was weirdly into skincare.
Yeah.
And I remember like in college being obsessed with wearing sunscreen before it was cool.
Oh my God. Yes. That's such a major key. And it's also never too late.
Exactly. I'm also a grandma, so I get a lot of sleep.
Nice.
I like to go to bed by like 10, if possible, which is, it's become increasingly harder with my current job, but I do like to try to get a lot of sleep.
Sleep? You look so much better when you've had a full night's sleep.
Oh my God.
When I've had no sleep, I look haggard. No amount of moisturizer can fix the situation.
And that's when I'm like grabbing the concealer. But
yeah,
I think sleep and also water. Water is like so key and so important. And also like living a healthy lifestyle. I try to as much as I can. But yeah, I think all those things combined with genetics, you know.
Play a role.
Definitely play a role. Help you give you that natural glow that everyone wants.
Yeah. So you've been a beauty editor at Essence since August.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in my head, I envision like all of these beautiful, smart black women like working together. Like it must be really amazing to be, I mean, Clinique is obviously like for lots of different types of people and it probably wasn't the most diverse workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Is it nice just like working with women of color all day?
It is. I mean, I think that there's definitely like there are things you don't have to explain if I come in with my hair straight like I did last week we can talk about the Pusha T and Drake beef, you know, I mean, which are, you know, it creates a culture and it just creates a very different feeling. And I think even in my work, there are things that I don't necessarily have to explain when I'm writing.
Right.
You know, you have to give like the explainer. Sometimes when I was writing for other sites. So
to be baby hairs are.
Exactly. When they are laid, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like comforting and nice to be in that environment around, you know, people that get you on some level that you don't have to explain.
Right.
Or you don't feel like you're being performative in some type of a way.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it's also like your reader is probably a woman of color, and mm-hmm. then your colleagues are women of color. So I feel like there's a really nice focus in terms of like who you are talking to, mm-hmm. which must make the writing better, right?
I think so. And I think you, like you said, you're focused. So right. I'll get invited or people will send me press information all the time about certain celebrities. And I'm like, Aria doesn't care about that. Like, I don't
give me an example. Like, will they be like, here's like Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts or...
Wait, what? They just send like random white celebrities?
All the time. I'm like, people, do you not know who our audience is?
Do you think it's just a mass email and they're not taking the time to like...
I think so. Or people will invite you to events to like get your hair done, but people, the people there don't know how to do natural hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very interesting. Or sometimes like I'll just go to events to like scope it out and see what happens or the reaction is when, you know, I show up.
That's, because, I mean, that's really important.
Yeah. And you invited me, you know, like yes. I didn't ask to come to this event. Right. You extended an invitation. So I feel like on some part you should do your due diligence to see like who you're inviting, or when a brand launches a foundation or concealer and they only have, you know,
light shades and then they have
maybe one dark shade, or they'll send me, you know, I'm like, who is this for? Who is this for?
Yes,
this is not who my reader is.
So I follow you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I see your stories. Like, yeah. I feel like you just, it seems like a dream job because you were just sent beauty products every single day. And then you're invited to these like fabulous lunches with like these table settings made for Instagram. And like, you just like, is it that like, you just get sent amazing free stuff. Are you jaded at this point?
Ooh, I really try to hold on to not being jaded, okay. but it is hard not to be like a little, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. You're like, okay, another Chanel nail polish. Great.
I guess I'll like attend this event. Maybe, but
really?
Yeah. Cause it is a lot. I mean, you also see how wasteful some brands are and like, which is something I was actually just talking to my boss about today. I'm like, we should do an article on like sustainable beauty brands, like brands that are like, everyone wants to be green.
Yes.
And I'm using air quotes because that really means nothing, but a lot of brands want to be green, but then they're like sending you these huge mailings, or their packaging is like plastic on top of like, a box with more wrapped in more plastic.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, we should look at brands. And there are a few that are really thinking about like how they package their products and making them more sustainable. So we did get sent a lot of things, which I'm very blessed and fortunate. And my friends are very happy. My family is very happy because I do share because I only have one face and one head of hair.
Yes. So is there like, I guess like a bit of a conflict of interest? And I don't know what the ethics are around beauty reporting.
Yeah.
But if you were brought to this amazing fancy lunch and they like get you a car service to the Hamptons to the launch of their new fragrance, and then they send it to you and you think the fragrance actually is awful, you can't really write that, can you?
I just err on the side of like, I'm not going to bring anyone down.
Okay. But you won't praise them.
But I won't. Exactly. Like I will, you know, if I like something, I'll definitely talk about it. And even things on like my Instagram, whatever, like there are tons of things I don't post because I don't like them. And I just feel like, you know, I don't need to be negative unless they're doing something that's like crazy. Again, like launching, you know, 4 shades of foundation or 10 with only, you know, 1 deeper shade. So yeah, I tend to like just not say anything.
Right.
But yeah, I don't like to lie, and especially lie to wear like and say, this is like so great and you should buy this, which is also another like, you know, approach I take to beauty is, you know, I don't think you necessarily need to buy a whole bunch of things to feel beautiful or look beautiful.
No.
And I feel like a lot of, you know, writing is to push products, but I don't think that that's, you know.
I mean, this is my biggest, I have several issues with the beauty industry, but I think one of them is this consumer mindset of just, your skin will never be as good as it is unless you buy this like tube of exfoliator and like, they've unlocked the secrets from like deep sea algae and like, and it's like, okay, we can't reinvent mascara every year. Like we can't, like some of this stuff, I feel like they try to position it in a way like you thought you had foundation before, but you need this foundation, or like you may have had concealer, but you need this concealer.
Exactly. And you know, I think products are great and fun, but I think that there are a lot of other pieces to making you feel
totally
beautiful and confident, and, you know, makeup and beauty should just be fun and a nice add-on.
Yes.
And not a cover-up for any other thing.
Absolutely. And a way to express yourself, right? Like, you have this amazing, like, white line of eyeliner right now that is so gorgeous.
Thanks.
And, you know, that's like flair. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I think that there's so many... I think also as we get older, I'll speak for myself, I start to forget that makeup is, like, this fun tool of expression, like, deciding what to wear, like, deciding what color you want to put on your face. And it's easy to, like, get away with that and just get into correction mode.
Which is very true. Yeah, I know. I feel like now, as I've gotten older and turned 30, I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I do have lines. Like, blah, blah, blah. But,
stop.
You know.
You're fine.
Again, I think you just... I like to take the approach, if I'm feeling great and confident, like this morning I got to work out, so I feel really great. And then I'm like, you know, that's when you feel your best and most beautiful.
Totally. And so you approached me for an Essence story about New Year's resolutions.
Oh my God, it's 6 months into the year, so now I want to ask you how you're doing.
So well. I mean, I make all of my own facial serums still. I'm still making all of my own. I was doing body butters before, but now I'm doing, like, my own body scrubs.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I've started making my own flaxseed hair gel, which I was really scared to do.
Okay, I've seen lots of tutorials on it, but I've never attempted it.
I finally attempted, and, like, okay. I was like, this is great. Like, the more that I make for myself, the more I'm realizing it's like cooking, right?
Yeah.
It's like... The first few times you can make an omelet for yourself, you're like, wow, it tastes like really good, you know, and I can make it exactly the way I like it and add more onions and cheese and whatever. Like, I'm able to, like, tailor my skincare based on, okay, I want more moisturization, so I'm going to add more marula oil, or I want more, you know, like, it's been really rewarding.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to, like, the kitchen beautician stage yet.
Yeah.
I feel like I am very, like, supportive and, love that.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah. I feel like... Maybe that'll be my next step, you know?
Yeah, well, you have natural hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God,
You have gorgeous natural hair.
Thanks.
And I think that I credit my natural hair journey a lot with, like, teaching me that it's actually okay to, like, make your own products in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm sure, like, for your beautiful hair, do you do, like, any at-home, like, mixing, like, honey and yogurt? Like, do you do any of those masks, or you, like, go and buy something?
I usually am testing something, so I feel like
I'm
testing and trying things. I have definitely made my own. I feel like I always add a little, like, something to a conditioner or, like, a hair mask that I'm using. So, like, I'll add a little bit of, like, olive oil or almond oil or, you know, coconut oil. Exactly. To, like, for whatever. I feel like I have color in my hair, so it can get really dry. But, yeah, no, I definitely... have made my own mask before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny just when you said, like, I'm usually trying products. It's like asking a food editor, like, so what, and it's like, I have restaurants to go to every night of the week. Like, I'm not at home, like, whipping stuff up. Like, people are, you know, like, of course you're not making stuff.
Yeah. That's usually why, like, I'm usually trying and testing, like, a product for my hair or skin or something, or, like, even now, like, the eyeliner I just got, so I'm, like, trying and seeing how it wears throughout the day.
What if you try something and it makes your skin break out? Like, you know, testing all this different skincare.
It can be a lot. I feel like the one thing I have been really blessed with is my skin is, like, very, I don't know if this is a good thing, but, like, it can take a lot.
Okay, it's not sensitive.
It's not sensitive at all. So, like, I can try, like, acids and, like, all types of crazy things, and it is...
It behaves.
It doesn't do anything too crazy.
That's
and
great.
The same with my hair. Like, I've colored it and tried tons of products. Like, at the office, people are like, I'm not trying this rod. You can try it. So
that, I'm so jealous. Because I haven't put heat on my hair. It's in August. It'll be a full year.
Okay. How's that been?
Great.
Yeah.
The health of my curls is so much better. I have to do protective styles for just, like, a break. Like, it's a lot. The natural hair thing.
It can definitely be
a lot.
And, like, having to even, like, washing it, like,
Yeah.
I only recently got to a point. I was one of those people, like, that would wet my hair every day.
Oh, well, I was doing the, oh my gosh, what's it called? Not Cherry Lola method, maximum hydration method.
Wait, what is that?
Oh my God. It's like one of these, like, natural hair torture chamber things where, like, you do, like, a clay rinse and then an apple cider vinegar rinse. And then you, like, you basically have to wash your hair every other day completely.
Whoa,
deep conditioner, detangling.
Whoa.
Yeah. But it makes your hair grow at, like, an amazing, it basically makes your wash and goes perfect. It's like one of those things where, like, you look at the YouTube tutorials and you're like, I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah. And that sounds torturous.
It's not sustainable.
No, because it, like, then your hair's wet, then you have to, like, try to get it dry, and I can't go to bed with wet hair. It's, like, a whole situation. So
yeah.
I finally got to a point where I have like the right products where I can let my, like, this is like day four or five.
Oh, really? So, and is this a twist out, a wash and go?
It's a wash and go.
Okay.
I feel like I've tried the twist outs, but the curls just don't, they're not the same. So yeah, so I wash and go, but I let it, like, I sleep with a silk scarf that night and on a silk pillowcase.
Of course, of course, of course. I can't believe that there are like black women in 2018 that don't wrap their, like, don't sleep with the silk. Are there? I don't know a single, I mean, maybe.
I think there are still women that don't sleep with a silk pillowcase.
Right, because you need the backup.
Yeah, I think that there definitely are. I am not one of those women. I have like multiple. I also have ones that I travel with. So when I travel,
that's real.
I bring one with me.
I was traveling for work at something and I forgot my silks, like I forgot my sleeping thing. And I literally couldn't sleep. Like, I couldn't sleep.
Oh, yeah, because you can, like, feel your hair. You're like, oh, my God,
like,
my hair's
rubbing against the cotton of the pillowcase. And I was like, probably lost some, you know, it probably didn't make any impact. But, yeah, once you start doing that, it's hard to go back. So when did you go natural?
So I feel like I think I had, like, a kiddie perm when I was, like, 8. But after that, I've had natural hair.
Okay.
Since as long as I can remember. So
oh,
like,
that's good.
So yeah.
You've always been.
But I also, I mean, I have been natural, but I was one of those girls in high school and college that would straighten her hair every day.
Yeah.
So
and
like,
that kills. Well, for me,
yes.
It seems like your hair is a little more resilient than mine, but.
No, I had like severe heat damage.
Yeah.
And like, it was a thing. Like me and my best friend in college, like Friday nights before we went out, we would like.
Had that cheese straightener out. Heat on like 400.
Frederick for Kai, like ready to go. So then, yeah, so then after, I think it was like until, I mean, and even when I first moved to the city, I was like going to get like Dominican blowouts.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that heat.
Where like you can literally smell it being
burned. You can smell your hair cooking.
And you like see it like literally smoking.
Yeah.
I remember like going to my hairdresser for the first time that I have now. And I was like, oh my God, it doesn't smoke when you like get your hair straightened. That's insane.
Yeah.
So
you get that Dominican blowout and you have the bounce and you're just like, yes.
And it literally will last for like a week because they literally fried your hair.
Yeah.
But now I rarely straighten my hair. I feel like it's usually, again, it's like if it's a gift, like I think last week or the week before I got it from a brand. Like you like come in and get your hair straightened.
Yeah.
So unless it's that, I don't really do it.
Yeah. And you have a really good cut.
Thank you. I just recently got it cut.
Yes. Where did you go?
Honestly, some like... It wasn't like I couldn't
it wasn't
get
like a diva curl, diva whatever.
No,
like that.
It was like a place in Harlem that my friend had went to, and literally my cut was $40.
What?
It was $40. So with the tip, it was like 50 something.
Okay,
so it was.
You'll have to send me the name of that place, and I'll link to it in the show notes for all of my listeners in New York, because it's hard to find people that know what they're doing with natural
it
hair.
It is because the woman I usually go to, Candace, was like fully booked and only had appointments like during the day at 1 p.m. And I'm like, Candace,
you have a job.
On.
Okay, but I'm surprised you didn't wait because I feel like with the hair, like, I'm not going to someone I've never gone to before to get my hair cut.
Yeah, I think this job has made me very adventurous.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it's
I'm
just
down.
Hair. It'll grow back. Yeah.
I'm very down for whatever. I'm like, whatevs.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go like pink or like some crazy color for summer.
Oh my God.
And maybe a little shorter. So I think this was just like a first snip. And
Then
I'll probably go a little shorter.
Yeah. And have you figured out, I can never figure out like 3C, 4A, 2B, not 2B,
oh
that's not a thing. But like, have you figured out like what your hair texture is? Like, are you like a 3C? Like, I don't know. You have like loose ringlets, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I say I'm like a, what is it, 4C at work and everyone gets mad at me. But
oh my
it's
gosh,
just, it's
yeah.
only because I don't know. I
yeah.
think.
I was going to say, like, I don't think you are.
Because
you have like, I wouldn't say your hair texture is like kinky.
No, it's more like curly.
Curly.
But my dad is Somalian, so I feel like that's where I get my hair texture.
Oh, yeah.
My hair texture from.
So have you been to Somalia?
I have not.
I'm sure it'd be really cool to get into their beauty scene and like what they've got going on.
I really want to do like a trip. I mean, so last year I went for my 30th, I climbed Mount Machu Picchu, but I really wanted
that's
to
awesome.
Go to Kilimanjaro. So I feel like that's another trip
that's
I'll have
like
to do.
Yeah.
And go to like Tanzania and Somalia and do like the Horn of Africa. So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Eventually, I know.
Yeah.
I need to do something, between traveling and beauty. Like you said, there's so much.
There's so much. Well, I really, like, my dream is to have, like, an Anthony Bourdain-style beauty travel show and go all over the world and just be like, so what's the beauty culture here? Like, what are the, like, ancient techniques that you've had for forever? And because every culture, just like food, has, like, distinct beauty culture.
Exactly. I feel like I've had that idea. I wanted to be, like, Samantha Brown growing up, but yes, it's the other, like, traveling woman.
Yes.
And then do it for beauty. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, like, maybe we can, like, do something together and, pitch it.
Because
I think, I was saying this to you before, but I think that beauty content is so much deeper than people give it credit for. I mean, I don't have to tell you. It's your life's work, you know, you're in the industry, but there's so many interesting stories to be told with beauty. Mm-hmm. And I think that especially now we're coming to such a realization about like women and representation and how we choose to represent ourselves and self-care, like the whole self-care movement. Like it's a very interesting time to be in beauty, right?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think there is now more space and we're demanding even more space to tell those like nuanced stories, because I think in the past it's like beauty for Black women has only been presented in one very particular narrow way.
Yes.
And beauty is something that touches all of us every day, even if you're someone that like is not a quote unquote makeup person.
Oh yeah.
You know, you want to feel beautiful, and I think that's the essence of it. So I definitely think we're in an interesting time where people are wanting to share those stories and look at those stories and think about beauty in a very different way, as opposed to a very like surface level, you know, this is one dimensional type of thing.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I'm curious to hear from you kind of what you've observed around how race is treated within the beauty industry, because, you know, you go to events with like Allure and Glamour and Vogue and all of the other beauty editors. Do you feel like there is a difference in the way that, because Essence is a magazine for Black women, do you feel like there's a difference in treatment?
I definitely think that there, I think
you don't have to be coy. I mean, because, let's talk about it. You see a difference.
I think that there are, in terms of like, I mean, and again, this is something that me and my boss have observed, and even necessarily the events that we're invited to, but also who shows up to like the quote unquote Black events. So like, you know, a brand that is typically for, you know, African-American women, our hair or whatever, it'll be just us and maybe a few other women or the Black women that work at those publications that will show up.
Oh, interesting.
As opposed to, you know, other editors that show up to the magazines. And if you're supposed to be a magazine that represents everyone or wants to talk to everyone, you know, it's interesting that only certain people show up. So, so yeah, it definitely is something that I have observed and seen.
Yeah. Because if you are speaking to everyone, then you should have also white editors cover events that are catered to women of color the same way that Black women have to cover events.
Exactly. So we go to like, you know, an event for a brand that, you know, maybe doesn't suit our reader, but like, you know, there's something to learn and discover, and there's new technology or like newness there.
Yeah.
So yeah. And there are definitely women that don't show up to, or other publications that don't show up to those Black, quote unquote, Black events.
Right. Have you had a chance to go to any of the Pat McGrath events?
Oh my God, I did. Like, and I'm such a Pat, like I used to watch her with like Tim Blank, like back in the day, like backstage.
Style.com. Yes.
So I remember like the first time I still have it saved. Like the first time she sent me, and I'm using air quotes, it was obviously from the PR brand, but it was like a handwritten note, and I was like, oh my God, Pat McGrath.
That's like, I would frame that.
Yeah. And then for, not this latest launch, for her palettes that are, I think they may be out now.
The Mothership,
but it's like a smaller version of like the original big one, so it's just like six colors, and it's maybe like $60, so it's like half the price.
Yeah.
She had an event, again, it was like super beautiful downtown, and she was there. So we got our makeup done by like people from her team, and then
she came
in like almost floating in, like, you know, in her
black, all black. This is what I love about Pat McGrath. She is like the makeup queen of the world, but you will never like see her with a stitch of makeup. She is like, I have on this black headband and a bare face, and I dare you to say anything about it.
Yes. I'm like, if she gives me like a real interview, I'm like, who makes her headbands? Like, I know.
I've already said on this podcast, the day that I interview Pat McGrath, I'm just going to retire, like wrap up the podcast. Like,
it's possible. You definitely will.
But that will be the peak. Like, there won't be a point in doing it after it. Because
I agree. She's one of a kind, and she's so nice.
I know.
Which is like, Okay, you usually, it's sad, but you think most people aren't going to be nice
right.
real life?
I mean, I've worked in the fashion industry. It is like cutthroat and brutal, and mm-hmm. there are lots of very not nice people. And to mm-hmm. succeed, to be like at the top of the food chain within the bitchiest industry of all time, to be that nice is insane.
Yeah. She was like, come on, darling, like taking selfies with everyone. So that was also a pretty awesome
Yeah,
event.
And I love that she's like on Instagram and like she gets it. Like she somehow stays so like young.
She does. I know. I don't even know how old Pat is.
She's ageless. Like
she is.
She's just like an icon.
She is.
And she also, I think, she is one of those few people that makes it clear that being a makeup artist is being an artist.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. So when at this event, she had like all of her, I guess, like inspiration, like books on books on books of yeah. like what she's done from every show, from like the like color swatches to like images that like inspired her.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know, maybe it's somewhere in like Paris or London, but she literally has like rooms of archives.
Ugh.
And we were like, what are you going to do with all of this? Like, you have to share this with the world.
I know.
She was
She's like, when I'm ready, I will. Because it took her a long time to even create
her line.
Yeah. And we didn't really talk about your hair color because, okay. So as soon as I take these crochet braids out, one of the things, I'm going to have to do something because I always have to do something.
Yeah. I've actually never tried crochet braids. How are they?
Oh, well, do you protective styling?
I've had so many bad experiences. Okay, like not so many, two bad experiences
okay,
with getting braids.
Oh, like individual, like.
Mm-hmm. And it like literally ripped my hair out in clumps.
Yeah.
That I was like, yeah. never again.
Yeah. I think micro braids are probably like the worst thing. I used to do them all the time. Mm-hmm. Looking back, it's so bad for your hair, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when they're like the big jumbo braids and they're too heavy,
oh my
it's
God.
Like, yeah, here, I'm just going to take my headphones off for the purposes of demonstration.
Yeah.
See, like, what's cool about crochet braids is that it's cornrows.
Ah, and they literally loop it in.
And they just loop it in.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can get to my whole thing is, like, when I used to do, like, weaves and stuff, and, like, I did a weave with a closure once, and I was like,
I'm
trapped. I need, being able to reach your scalp is, like, so important. Like,
yeah.
you can't, I can't.
You can breathe.
Right. I can't not get to my scalp for a month.
Yeah. I've never had, I mean, I haven't gotten around to it yet. I really want to do like a wig story because I've also never had a wig.
Same. And wigs are like the biggest thing right now.
Yeah. The girls, they're like, don't cut your hair. Don't dye it. Just like get a wig. So I really want like a blunt, like bangs and like blunt cut, even though I kind of have one now, but really blunt cut with a wig.
I think with like wigs and weaves and like natural hair, I think it's all, some people are very, a lot of women with natural hair are very like militant about it.
Oh my God, no.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like, this is a cute style and it's my own hair and like it looks like it's as much of an aesthetic choice as a weave, I think.
Oh, for sure.
For me at least.
Yeah.
And I think that the only time that it gets to be troubling is when you don't, you are not willing to wear your own hair. And there's some women that wear wigs so much that they're like, literally, they don't ever wear their own hair.
Oh,
out.
Yes. I thought you were going in a different way with like the whole natural hair thing and how people are like
too crazy and militant.
Mm-hmm. And very like, if you wear any type of like straight hair, you don't love yourself.
Yes.
Like, which to me is also the other extreme. Like, there are these like hair shaming is like really
like,
real and like crazy to me, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
and like I have met women who love themselves
yes.
and are proud and happy to be black, who have perms.
Yeah, or like a 22-inch blonde weave. Like,
yeah, it is their. I mean, I think it's their choice, and I think what the natural hair movement was so great about is that it allowed us to have, you know, to have a whole other choice that we may not have had before. So I think policing people's hair and bodies is corny and dumb. So I'm not with it.
I know. I couldn't agree more. But you should try crochet braids because I think it's a good protective style. Most people do like the big curly ones.
Yes.
And I've done those before. Mm. I just, my hair just felt so big that I was just like.
Mm. It's too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
And even with my own natural hair, I keep cutting it into like a short tapered cut.
Okay.
Because I don't think, in my head, I want like this big afro. But like in reality,
it's a lot.
I don't.
Yeah. I feel like those girls on Instagram and like the YouTube girls that have the
like the
really,
huge.
I'm like, that is a lot. That's a lot of product. I feel like that's the other reason I cut my hair. It's like, I'm using too much damn product.
I know. I have short hair and I use so much conditioner.
Yeah.
Like, it's criminal.
At first I was like going through a bottle a week. I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
So those girls, I don't know how they do it.
I know. So sorry, this is like a long way of me getting to your color is so gorgeous. How did you decide on like this, would you say these are like golden brown highlights?
Kind of ish. So I originally like went to, again, to a brand, Diva. I went to Diva Curl, or Diva Shawn is the salon.
Oh, yes. And they mm-hmm. have a special color thing that they call it something. Their color.
Is it like balayage or something? I don't know if that's new, but maybe that's what they.
Yeah.
I originally wanted to go to Scissor Red.
What's that?
Like this, like when SZA had like the orange pepper.
Hair. I thought SZA. You were saying like a name of salon. Like I wanted to go to this place, SZA Red, and I was like, what is that place? I've never heard of it. Okay, SZA's red hair.
Yeah,
yes.
Like red, orangey, like bright. And I went to her, and she was like, "Girl, no."
Because the health of your hair is usually very compromised when you do a dramatic dye job.
Yeah. So she was like, "How about we like take it?" And it used to be a lot lighter. So I got this done in November. So it's faded quite a bit. And then when I got it like chopped, it mm-hmm. took most of the color off. So she like did a situation highlight, mm-hmm. orangey blonde. And yeah. That and so really I've had good. It since November. But before that, I also had blonde-ish highlights. Yeah. You're just like, I mean, people are very scared of color, but I think you just take the extra care. You seem like you take really great care of your hair, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I just, like, I feel like I've gotten over the heat damage, and now my hair is healthy again, mm-hmm. but I feel like if I just, like, throw color into it, it may just get too crazy. But it's funny. I was interviewing Danielle Prescott. She's got really blonde hair, and she was like, when I look at pictures of myself with, like, my dark hair, I'm just like, ugh, so boring. Like,
that's how, like, I feel, too. That's why I'm like, I want to go pink now, because, like.
Like, the blonde highlights is not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah. What is your... What do you... Okay, so I feel like in beauty, you can either be passionate about hair, skin, makeup. Obviously, we love all of them. But, like, what's the thing that, like, you are, like, passionate about?
Oh, my God, skin.
Skin, yeah.
Skin, but it has slowly transitioned to makeup. Like, I like to really have fun and, like I said, bright liner. I have, like, a glitter liner that I wear all the time. Ooh,
like, just during the day, just on a Wednesday?
Just to go to work. And they're like, Sarad, where are you going? I'm like, I'm coming here to hang out with you guys all day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it really is skin. Like,
yeah.
I was obsessed with the Korean skincare method. And I feel like I'm not as, like, diligent in terms of, like, 10 steps. But I still, you know, take care and time.
Tell me your AM and PM routine.
Ooh, okay. Let me start with the night because I feel like that's probably more fun.
Okay.
So I oil cleanse. I'm a huge like proponent or like I love
oil cleansing.
Yes.
Is it your own oil or are you buying some expensive, overpriced oil from someone else? But you know what? You're not paying for it.
Yes.
So then I'm usually not as judgmental. Okay.
Yeah. I love this like Tatcha oil, the Camilla oil, which is pretty pricey, but it breaks down the makeup really well.
Have you ever... Putting it out there, turned around the bottle, looked on the back, and just seen that it's like castor oil, rosehip oil, you know what's in it?
Yeah.
Do you know what like the main ingredient is? It's probably like castor oil or...
That one? I don't know. Actually, I don't know that one.
But it's Tatcha? That's the brand?
Okay. Yeah, it's like a Japanese brand.
Okay.
So I oil cleanse, and then...
Explain what oil cleansing is, because actually, like, I feel like I'm used to it, but a lot of people aren't familiar with oil cleansing, and people, I think, are afraid to put oil on their face.
Yeah, and people that have oily skin always think that they can't use an oil. So oil cleansing is basically you use some type of an oil, so you can use a coconut, like Brooke was saying, you can use something that you have at home, coconut oil, olive oil, argan oil, and you use it to kind of break down the grime, the grit, and especially the makeup.
Yeah.
So when... you wash your face with your like water-based cleanser or powder cleanser, you know, it's just like a second kind of wash.
Yes. Yeah. And all you really need is like a warm washcloth.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just like you just put it over and then
it's like you see it's actually like oddly satisfying too.
So satisfying.
You see like all that disgusting grime go down the sink.
Yeah.
So I use oil cleanser and then I'll use some type of another cleanser.
Okay.
Lately I've been into powder cleansers.
Talk to me about powder cleansers. I haven't entered this world.
Yeah. They're like they're great for traveling, which is also why I'm obsessed with them. So it's either like they're usually like enzyme powders. Again, Tatcha, I feel like this is not an ad for Tatcha, but they have a rice powder cleanser. So you just like put in your hand and then you add a little bit of water and then it kind of gets gritty and like a little, not really foamy, but
so
like
it kind of
milky.
Exfoliates too, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Okay.
But gentle enough to use every day.
Okay, nice.
Or I do use the Glossier Milky Jelly Cleanser.
Okay, people love that.
They do. So I think it's really great at making sure, because of that like slippy, slimy texture, it does take away the like makeup. So then I'll wash my face. And then because I'm a little like crazy, I'll take like a makeup wipe or like a white towel to make sure I got everything
okay.
off.
Okay. I mean, same.
Yeah.
After I double cleanse. After that, I do a toner. Like, I just put witch hazel on a cotton pad, and I just, like, make sure that there's, like, nothing there.
Yeah. I usually do, like, an exfoliator first.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, wait. So,
like a chemical exfoliant.
Wait, so we're, okay, so we're on step two. You've done the powdered cleanser.
Yeah.
And now step three is just a makeup wipe.
Yep.
Okay, now what's step four?
Some type of, like, a gentle chemical exfoliant. So I'm obsessed with, like, P50.
Damn. Okay, what's P50?
So it's by this brand, like, Biologique Rochard.
Okay.
I don't know how I first... Oh, one of my friends who had a Korean skincare bug.
Yes.
But this is a French brand.
Okay.
And, like, people are diehard fans. Some people
really?
Are not because it is pretty strong.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'll either use that or I was testing, like, Ren had a much more milder, gentler kind of exfoliant that is safe to use every day.
Okay. So are you more into chemical exfoliating or physical exfoliating?
Chemical.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like unless it's a powder cleanser that becomes really, really soft and like fine, I feel like you're kind of tearing your skin. I feel like unless it's like a sugar or something really natural that you're making yourself, I kind of tend to stay away from it.
Totally. I can see that.
Yeah.
A lot of the physical exfoliating cleansers are just really harsh.
I feel like, and you can kind of feel like, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, Cure Gel. Do you know that Cure Gel? It's like this cult. It's a Japanese exfoliating product, and it's like a watery, like gel texture. And then as you're like rubbing it in your face, it like, you get like the dead skin like collects. It's really weirdly satisfying.
Ooh,
it's called Cure Gel.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of it.
You can get it on Amazon.
All right. I'm going to look it up.
It's like a really crazy exfoliator and they're obsessed with it in Japan. And I discovered it recently and it's really good.
Cure Gel. Okay.
Okay. So now you're on what? We're on step four. You've exfoliated.
Yep. And then I will use some type of like an essence or like a serum.
You're so Korean. You're so Korean. Literally, like, until I was, like, shopping in Seoul, I was like, what the fuck are essences?
Yeah.
And an essence is different from a serum. The essence is, like, lighter and more watery. And I'm like, what is this water? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What are essences?
They're just that. They're like a serum. They're usually targeting moisture, or like, helping lock in moisture in the skin. But the particles are obviously a lot more, like, they're smaller, so they can get absorbed right into the skin. So while the skin's still wet, you want to, like, tap it into the skin.
No, I love it. Okay, so wait, who makes your essence?
Right now, oh my God, I really sound crazy. I'm using one from Kogendo, which is a Japanese brand.
Okay.
When I went there, they gave me some when I went to their salon.
Nice.
So then I'll use that.
And then a serum?
Sometimes. So I've been using this one from Ole Henriksen, which is like a vitamin C serum.
Nice. Vitamin C is always good on the skin.
It is, and great for hypopigmentation.
Mm-hmm. Pause on hyperpigmentation for a little bit, because I think that growing up, I had a very adverse reaction to, like, if you see anything that's like brightening, whitening, you're like, oh my God, like, I'm not trying to bleach my skin. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in Asia, of course, everywhere, it's like whitening mask. Like, and I got one of these like snail cream things, and it was like an overnight sleep mask, and it says like whitening sleep mask.
Yeah.
And so you like feel like, oh my gosh, no. But it's what I've realized now is that it's their way of addressing like hyperpigmentation.
Yep.
And especially for dark skin, if I have like the smallest blemish and I touch it and it leaves a mark.
Yeah.
And just to even your skin tone, you know, you have to go to those like brightening, whitening, like
products.
Kind of scary adjectives used.
Yeah.
But I've realized to like not be so afraid of it because it's not like you're actually like lightening your skin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 9 times out of 10. I mean, unless you read, I forget, like not hydroquinone, but one of those ingredients.
I think it's hydroquinone.
Yeah, that like is literally bleaching. You're probably fine.
Yeah.
So brightening and whitening are usually
kind
of synonymous in that context.
Yeah.
So maybe a serum. Then I will put on some type of like a moisturizer. Lately, I've been into like sleeping mask, which
again, very Korean of you. You like are literally like a K-beauty girl. Sleep masks, though, are great.
They are. Although, I think, I feel like there was some article that said that they're kind of BS, but.
No, because I think, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But I think that your body does a lot at nighttime, right?
For sure, in terms of like regeneration and
Totally. So it makes sense to have on something on your skin as your body's like doing all that stuff, right?
Agreed. I think so. I mean, I'm doing it.
Yeah. So what's your sleep mask? So that's your moisturizer.
Usually, yeah. And then I'll put an oil on top of it.
Oh, my God. Girl. So you're like, you started this by being like, I'm not really doing the 10 steps. So, like, I think we're at, like, 12 now. Okay. So what oil do you put on top of everything? Like a facial oil?
Some type, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not making it. Lately, I've been trying one from, like, Used to the People. They have some, like, goji berry.
Yeah.
Light, like, whatever, serum. I'm not serum. Oil.
Oil.
So, yeah. So I'll do that.
You know what? Do you ever think, if I just mm-hmm. washed my face with a bar of Dove soap and put on, like...
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Like, to think about...
Well, in the morning, it's a lot lighter. So maybe
Okay, but you didn't mention eye cream. Are you not...
I'm not, like...
Eye cream?
I don't know. I really do not know. And, like, I'm sorry to all the brands out there, but I haven't found, like, one... I'm obsessed with, that I really like, that I really believe in.
This is so consistent with every single Naked Beauty. I have never had someone like, everyone's like, I'm like, what about your eye cream? And they're like, meh, I'm always looking for another. Like, no, I haven't heard a single person say like, this eye cream has changed. And I definitely have like fine lines under my eyes. Apparently I can get Botox for it. Like, apparently there are things that you can do to actually make a difference, but I don't think eye cream is one of them.
I haven't found a do. I stand by that. I don't know.
Yeah, eye cream is just like meh.
And yeah. I'm only using one if like I have like I think now I have one because like someone sent me one, but I hadn't been using one for months before that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow, it's because you do all 10 of these steps. Do you do anything to your hair before night? Like, do you seal oil on the ends before you wrap it up? No, you just put it in a pineapple situation.
I do a pineapple. Okay. So I do a pineapple with silk scarf, sleep on a silk pillowcase.
Okay. Okay. And then what about on the body? Like, are you putting like cream on your feet and then socks on and then like?
Oh yeah, especially in the winter. I mean, the summertime to preserve a pedicure.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's a good tip. But usually at night, I take a shower. I will like. I don't exfoliate every night, but I try to. Like
a body exfoliation, yeah.
Yeah, a few times a night. And then I'm also like a greasy mess. So I like put on shea butter then like oil on top of that.
Same. My husband's always like, why are you a seal every time you come into bed? And I'm like, if you want the skin to be soft, like these are the things that have to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's for the body. Nice. And then the morning, I just like wash my face, like no cleanser, like just wet it so that it can absorb. Sometimes I put on an essence, sometimes I don't.
Okay. Now, are you one of these psychos that, like, filters their water to have, like, soft water? You know that a lot of beauty people do that. Like, they filter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Okay, good.
No. I mean, I can totally... Don't give me, like, ideas.
No, it's a real thing. A lot of people, even in their shower, they get, like, a soft water filter.
I have been feeling that lately. Like, my skin has been really dry, even though I hydrate. Oh, my God. I'm going to look into this.
Look into it. I have not gone this step, but I guess like the tap water in various cities can be like harsh and it could be like, you know, hard water versus soft water. Yeah. So some people like add filters to their.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah. I mean, you're splashing it on your face. It probably matters how like pure how the water is. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think so.
So you don't re-cleanse in the morning, obviously.
Not unless I like work out and then it's like sweaty.
Yeah.
But typically no. And then I will just put maybe some type of like serum or oil. And then I just use sunscreen.
Yes. What's your sunscreen?
Oh goodness. I feel like I hate being a fangirl of this sunscreen, but the Glossier one is really good.
No, that's great. That's amazing.
It's really good. There is also one by Suzanne Kaufman, which is really good, but it's a lot more pricey.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? There's one more that I really like. Oh, there's one by, is it Five Lab or Red Lab? I'll have to send you a link.
Okay.
But that one is also really good because it like also has properties of like a good moisturizer.
Yes.
So you're also like doing good things for your skin, but it has like above a SPF 30.
Have you tried the Shantikai?
No, someone else just was talking to me about
this. It's $115.
I don't know what to call it. I'm going to call it in a try.
Yeah. I feel like if I was a beauty editor, like I would be so unethical. Like I just feel like I would be like, I'm writing a story about and just like literally just like refill everything that I need. Or maybe that's ethical in beauty, but like. I would.
But then they'll start asking about where the stories are. So you got. But it is summertime, so, you know, I'm testing sunscreens.
Yeah.
So
I like Murad's vitamin C sunscreen
they
a lot.
They also have a good one.
Yeah. Have you tried these, like, mineral SPF, like the powder SPFs?
I actually saw some girl at Indie Beauty Expo last year that had some. I didn't try. I'm just, like, very weary because I'm like.
It needs to work. Like, I'm not.
and I have like a deeper skin tone. I'm like, I can't be out here looking ashy.
Yeah.
And it's just a no. So once I find one that I'm like liking, I just stick with it.
Speaking of ashiness, one of the things, it's been such like a godsend for me. Like those loose setting powders?
Yes. I only recently got into powder. I had never used powder until recently.
Yeah, well, I was using the Laura Mercier loose setting powder for forever, and it was like, it made me look ashen. Like, it was not a good look.
Oh, no.
And then someone told me about, like, Sasha Buttercup. It's like some cheap, like, it's like a gold, it looks yellow. Like,
okay.
It looks like, the powder itself looks yellow, which
is
you
like
wouldn't
banana
think.
Banana powder? Is that what they call it?
Yes, there's like Ben Nye is another brand that makes this like thing I think called banana powder. This one's very similar. It's the brand is Sasha Buttercup, I think.
Okay.
And it's like this yellow setting powder, and it's just, it like makes your skin look so like finished.
Ooh.
It's really good. I don't do it for like every day, but it's a really good
powder.
Setting powder.
Do you have like oily skin?
No.
Okay.
My skin definitely is on the dry side, but my skin is sensitive, so I just can't do too much.
Got it. Because I'm scared. Because I have dry skin too. I'm scared of like powders because it'll make me look like dried out.
Yeah. This one, for some reason, I think that a lot of the powders are mineral based.
Okay.
You try it all.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all. Like.
Yeah.
There's probably very few things that people like really love that you haven't been exposed to.
Probably.
So I'm very interested to know like what your like top, like the current beauty products that you're obsessed with now. I am dying to know what they are.
I feel like all the beauty products, honestly, that I'm obsessed with are the ones that I loved before.
Really?
Getting into.
Oh my gosh. So like, okay. So the tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they?
My P50. Because I feel like if I don't have it, like my skin looks terrible.
And it's this exfoliator?
It is. It's this like chemical exfoliant. People have, it's like cultish that people really love it.
Do you go on any of like the beauty boards? Like I'm like on Makeup Alley. I'm on the skincare Reddits. Like
I dabble. I'm like not that deep because
I don't post. I just lurk.
Lurk. It is. It can be a dark hole.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But I do definitely like, I'm a big YouTube person.
Okay.
So I'm like deep, like I can watch YouTube for like
hours. Who are the YouTubers that you follow? Because I'm like sick of everyone I used to look at.
I also love the old, like I still like Jackie Aina.
Okay.
Yeah.
A beautiful black woman, not knocking her hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I love her personality.
Yeah.
I personally feel like midway through her tutorials, she looks really good, and then it goes on for another 10 minutes, and I'm like,
you didn't need to do all that.
You didn't need to add like the glitter and the
By
the time she gets to the lipstick, I'm like, no,
it's a
too
lot.
Much.
It's definitely an Instagram look, you know?
Yeah,
it's
but people are at home following this, and then like going into biology class in the morning. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a very different. Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine being a young woman right now. I think it's like
all of those tutorials are putting on. A full set of lashes. I'm like, does every tutorial need a set of lashes?
Well,
it's not complete unless you've got the contour and the lashes and like the gradient brow and then like the crease cut. And it's like, this is just like,
it's a lot. And like you said, they're just going to biology class. And a lot of the girls, they're like young
of course.
Girls and young women. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So Jackie Aina, she's fun.
Fun. I still like Patricia Bright.
I love her. Okay. I discovered her recently.
Okay, yeah.
She's I feel like she's less of like a beauty, because I feel like she'll do her tutorials and she'll be like, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
Yes.
But she's just funny.
She is. She's great. She worked with Bobby Brown not too long ago.
Okay.
And so I got to meet her and I was literally like freaking out.
Is she really nice?
She was so sweet.
Yeah, she seems
she was
like
so
she's
nice. So yeah, so I'm a big YouTube person. I'm trying to think of the other products that I absolutely love. Oh, I'm like really into bronzer. Which
I don't have a good bronzer. Bronzer do you use?
So there's this, I don't know if it's from like Amsterdam or Copenhagen, but like Scandinavian.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna pronounce it. It's like K-J-E-R something.
Okay.
Weiss is a brand. But the thing I love about it, first of all, the packaging is beautiful.
Okay,
I think I might have
nice
it
packaging.
With me, so I'll show you.
Okay.
And then you can, once the palette is done, you can pop in a new one. So you literally don't have to buy the whole package again.
Yeah, and that's so much more sustainable.
It is.
Because every time I buy, I'm like, half of this, I'm sure I'm being charged for, is just like the stupid bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really good. I'm really into bronzer. Like someone today was like, oh my God, were you like tanning this weekend? Yeah. I'm like, no, I just put on some
bronzer. So you do bronzer like what, like on the apples of your cheeks? And like, where do you apply bronzer?
I use bronzer kind of like a highlighter, especially this one because it's like a cream. I'm also, I only use like cream blushes and cream highlighters and like cream bronzers.
Wow.
Anything I can just like use with my hands because I'm not the biggest brush person.
You don't have like beauty blenders and like what are those? Like they look like oval toothbrushes, like those rose gold. I'm like
Artemis.
But what are those?
They're like okay. Those brushes are bomb. I don't. they are an investment.
Yeah, you get them for free. Literally, can you just send me your cast offs? Like
yes, I'll bring you a package next time.
It must be so nice to just get everything for free.
That's also why I feel bad when people are like, you know, what are your favorite products? Because I'm like, what I'm telling you, I like to tell people things that I would actually purchase. That's how my barometer of like, if it's a favorite product.
Okay. So the P50 thing is like,
oh, I buy it because they're like, girl, we don't need press. We're not sending that to you. We're not sending that to you.
Any bronzer hair products you like? You have like just gorgeous hair. Like,
ooh, I've really been liking Amika.
What's that?
It's like, okay, it's a brand. If they need help, they can call me because I don't think that they are catering to black women, but their products do work.
Really?
It's like A-M, I'm a terrible spell, A-I-K-A.
Okay.
And they have this like new curl defining like cream and gel combo that works really, really well.
Wow. Okay.
Them, and I also love Orbe.
Orbe
you're is the third so person. Good. That is like,
everyone
now you
is
got me like
obsessed with Orbe. Everyone's like everything they make. Like everyone loves it.
Oh my
it.
God, they have a body oil that is like out of this world.
Everyone love and people love the scents. I'm not up on Orbe.
Yeah, they're so it's so good. Really? But again, pretty pricey. But they have like body polishes and like shampoos and conditioners and curl creams.
Body polishes is another thing where I'm like, just take out brown sugar and olive oil. It and is. Like literally that's it. Like
quite literally, that's all you need. And a little lavender, if you like that.
Add in your essential oil of choice and like, boom, you're done. People pay so much for body sugars. And I'm like,
That one's like pricey. Like sometimes they can be like $60.
Here's my thing. This is what I'm trying to wrap my head around in terms of like, the beauty industry is moving more and more towards organic ingredients that are from Earth that anyone with like an Amazon account or a Google account can like find out where they are, right? So I think before when the beauty industry hid behind like a scientific mix of like our biologists have been in the lab and like they've created this complex chain of chemicals, then you feel like, okay, I cannot make that. But then when I see facial oils that are like $170 and you look at the back and it's like rosehip oil, like it's literally like
I know
just oils, how can they then justify the price? Is it that people are just lazy?
Yeah. I think so. People are lazy. They find something that works and they want to stick with it. And, or they don't know. I feel like we're very tapped in and like, this is like what you do. I think there's still people out there that don't know that like people are paid to like post things on Instagram. You know, I think we are just like so jaded because you're so tapped in that the mom in the Midwest, no offense to anyone in the Midwest, but the mom in the Midwest who's like going to a Sephora Ulta, like they don't know.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, I saw someone like post about it and they really liked it.
Yeah.
That's how it all still works.
Yeah. That honestly though, it really like, it really inspires me to continue like posting like how to do your own stuff at home. Because I think that once people see that it's actually.
It's easy. And like, it's economical on so many fronts, like environmentally, like financially, like it takes a little bit of effort, but it's like cooking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Imagine if you had to eat every single meal out.
There are people that do.
I guess those are the people that will never make their own thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So. What about the beauty trends that you're just really over and you're sick of seeing?
But I think honestly, the biggest thing that the trends that I'm over is like anything having to do with like cultural appropriation or people claiming that they don't know something when there's a whole wide
internet
web out there. I feel like that's the only thing I'm over. And people like using that as an excuse, you know, like using ignorance as an excuse when it really isn't anymore. Appropriation on any fronts. I feel like there was even a recent article about like Nicki Minaj, like appropriating like Asian American culture, which like people don't really talk about.
Yes. When the Chun-Li artwork came, I was like, so the chopsticks are in the hair, like this is okay.
Yeah. It's like, crazy, which, you know, and even that double standard, you know, like know. We get, if that had been like
a white woman, exactly, it would be outrage, yeah.
Who would be dragging, yeah. And
I asked an Asian friend of mine who's also a Nicki Minaj fan if it was, and he was like, no, I don't care, I love Nicki. So I think it also depends on, like...
But I had people in my, like, DMs that were, like, really upset about it. And they were, like, that were Asian and Asian American were, like, this is insane. Why aren't more people talking about this?
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, over any kind of use of that. But, like, even the... there's so many fun gimmicky trends that they're annoying, but...
Yeah, and it's also, like, they're for the kids. Like, let them have fun. You know? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Okay. When do you feel most beautiful?
I feel most beautiful when I feel strong. When I'm like either working out or I wrote something I'm really proud of. When I feel strong or like when I'm confident, you know, is when I feel most beautiful, which has nothing to do with like makeup or products or anything like that. That's when I feel most beautiful.
That's amazing. Well, Sarad, thank you so much for coming on the Naked Beauty Podcast. You chose tea as your drink of choice, so we can like toast
Cheers.
With our teacups.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Of course. I feel like I've learned so much about the whole like beauty spectrum.
Yeah. It's a wild, crazy world, and it's only getting like crazier and more intense.
Yes.
But I think it's also a fun time to be like thinking or working and, you know, creating in the beauty space.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I will link to Sarad's Instagram so you can follow her and follow all of her amazing writing. Are you on Twitter also?
I'm recently on Twitter. One of my 2018 goals was to get on Twitter.
Okay.
Lauren at work, shout out to Lauren, got me on Twitter,
nice.
Got me set up.
Okay.
And now I like tweet.
Yes,
I'm tweeting.
Okay, amazing. All right, so I will link to everything. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.